Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We are awaiting the Honorable Michael Tibolo to join us. He was supposed to be on the last segment, but something went awry. And while I was, by the way, that was an elongated version of the meat monger. I just want you to, everybody to know that. I was stretching shot out. That's not an easy thing to do, but we did it. Anyways, and Michael called while I was on the line with Mr. Kelly. So now apparently we're getting his voicemail again. I don't know what to tell you, boys. Let's get Kevin Callan on then, shall we? And we'll move on. I will tell you that the last time Michael was on the air with us was early March or mid-March, just before the pandemic actually hit us. And so obviously a lot has happened since then. And we brought him, we wanted him on the program today to talk to us about the whole mental health issue behind this pandemic, because a lot of us don't give that a lot of thought. You know, we go through our day-to-day complaining about the pandemic, but don't realize what it might be doing in terms of mental health. We're always concerned about our physical health and don't give a whole lot of regards to the mental health part. And that's what we wanted to talk to Michael about. And if we do get him on before the hour is over, we'll sneak him in somewhere in the back door or through the bedroom window. Somehow we'll sneak him in to the show. But in the meantime, we will move on, as they say, with the other regularly scheduled guests. The one that we're waiting for right now is the happy camper. His name is Kevin Callan. He is an expert wilderness canoeist and camper, an author of many books, a public speaker on the subject as well, a regular contributor to Explore magazine, a fine publication for those of you who are not familiar with it. He also submits articles to Paddling magazine. And he's won several national magazine awards, and he was made the patron paddler. And I didn't even know there was such a thing, Michael, as a patron paddler. He's the patron paddler for Paddle Canada and has recently won several filmmaking awards. There's something else I didn't know about Kevin, that he was also a filmmaker. Kevin is also listed as one of the top 100 modern-day explorers by the Canadian Geographical Society. And he is an outdoor blogger, of course, for fishingcanada.com. I mentioned that at the beginning. And he also started this new thing. I had a chance I can't remember how I got it, but I had a chance to view it. He's got a new video thing happening where he interviews other paddlers, adventurers, outback wilderness explorers, and he actually conducts interviews and puts them on YouTube. So that was kind of cool as well. And he just got out of Algonquin Park. Well, maybe he didn't get out of Algonquin Park, because now we can't get a hold of him either. But he just did a quick little stint in Algonquin Park. Of course, that's because they just opened it up a couple of weeks ago. And he took the opportunity, as did a bunch of my friends, by the way. I think it was a pretty busy area. Algonquin had a lot of folks in it this past couple of weeks. And I believe we have Kevin on the line now. Good morning, Kevin. Hey, Kev.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Kevin Callan, finally on the line, the happy camper. Boy, we're having a hell of a time this morning. Things are not going the way we would like them to.
That's like a canoe trip.
Oh, yeah. No kidding, man. Speaking of canoe trips, you just got out of Algonquin Park?
I did, yeah. Yeah, the bugs aren't bad, really. Seriously. Yeah, no, they're bad.
Well, no, seriously, though. I'm funny you say that, because a very good friend of mine just got out of the park 2 days ago, and I asked him how were they. He said they weren't that bad.
They're not bad at the campsite. Actually, the deer flies are coming out. I hate them worse than mosquitoes, to be quite honest. Yeah, I mean, there's only two or three around you, but you want to kill them all, so yeah. They weren't too bad. At dusk, they are.
How do you deal with deer flies? I'm curious.
Oh, God. You know what I do? I get a piece of duct tape, put it backwards, and put it on top of my hat. So then the deer flies are they're always attracted to bright things, right? So and also your CO2 emissions, whatever. But they go on your head and get attached to the duct tape. And then at the end of the portage, we get the duct tape and we compare. And whoever has more dead deer flies, they get more whiskey at night. So
nice. Yeah. Nice. I love that. I love that. how are you coping with this whole pandemic stuff, my friend?
It was interesting for me, you know, because I was on a speaking tour. I was 3 into 36 presentations across North America, and then it happened. So because I had a new book coming out, and that, you know, crushed everything, right? So because that's what I spend my time in the springtime is go around and speak everywhere. And but then I got stuck inside, and I was okay with that because, you know, I'm a writer, so that was the norm. And I stopped listening to the news after a while. That made things better. And I started doing these whiskey chats. I started doing Zoom whiskey chats with people that I know are all over the place, in the UK and Canada and the United States. And that kept me sane, and that was good. Some good chats on there, on my KC Happy Camper. And I did some writing, as a writer would do during a pandemic.
Yes.
And you know what was really cool about it is I was able to teach online still. So I teach students at risk that, you know, their high school students aren't doing so well in high school, but I take them to college to get them through high school to go to post-secondary. And I was able to continue that online. So I taught them fish ID, bird ID, and things like that, all on Zoom. So
I saw one of your those Zoom things, by the way. That was very cool.
It was neat because, you know, you're like, oh, gosh, I wish I would take them out in the bush because that's what I do. But, you know, the coolest thing that the kids in Halliburton, they excelled. The average mark in that class was 94%.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Because they liked it. In fact, I think I was told by a bunch of the parents that they were actually doing the ID classes at home with them. So, I mean, if you think about it, what else was there to do except learn about nature? You couldn't be out in nature, right? So,
well, tell me about those classes. Tell me about I'll be honest with you, Kevin. I didn't realize you were doing that stuff.
Yeah, it's I've been doing it for over 30 years, but I think everybody knows me as the Happy Camper, but I've been teaching part time at the College of Sanford Fleming, in Lindsay there. And I teach the, I was past fish and wildlife person in forestry and stuff. So I teach some bird ID, fish ID, a tree ID. And about 12 years ago, I started teaching high school guys that aren't doing well in high school, so they go to college. So I'm still a college prof for them. So I'm part-time, though. So, I mean, you know, that's, you know, the good thing about part-time is I was able to go out in the summers and write books and stuff. And the bad part is, like, I'm part-time, so I got no money. So.
Who needs money? It's way overrated, buddy.
It is. Especially when there's a pandemic.
Exactly. So tell me about this trip into the park. It sounds like you had a great time. Although you didn't do much, your luck wasn't very good on fishing, from what I can see.
No, I shouldn't say that to you, should I? I should lie, no. Like every angler.
No.
You know, here's the thing. I missed my May trip like everybody, right? And it was disheartening. Like, all my buddies were just depressed, right?
Yeah.
And we get it. The park was closed. Crownland was closed because we could have went to Crownland, but we didn't. We did some day trips. And we caught some specs on for the day. But even that was questionable whether we should be doing that or not. Like, people were like, And then, you know, I wanted to make sure I did everything right. And then when it all opened, we're like, woohoo! And what was really cool is I was going to do this video of me getting to the lake and getting to Algonquin and actually going nuts. Like, I'm free at last, you know. and it didn't. I didn't film. I didn't say a word. I just started paddling. And Christine, my partner, she was with me, and she's like, why aren't you saying anything? I go, this is just, I'm in awe. Like, I can't believe I'm out. And So even when we're coming back after a few days out, it was weird to come back and see people and realize, yeah, I got to keep distance again. And you forget about that because you're in the woods, right? And all of a sudden you have to keep away from people. And I'm thinking, oh, man, the reality we just now live in, right? So Wilderness was a great place to be in. Now, with the trout, though, so here is my thing. I've always wanted to catch a silver trout on King Scott Lake. So silver trout are lake trout that have adapted to a shallow lake. It's only 26 meters in the deepest area. And they're just different. They're just like the Aurora trout. They're just a different breed. And they've got no vermiculums, and they've got no spots on the side. They're kind of shiny. And I just wanted to catch one and let it go, whatever, but just say I caught one. And yeah, didn't catch one.
not a bite. How long did you try?
3 days. And But you know what? It's a heat wave, right? It's mid-June. Yeah. I was using a lead core, but yeah. And it happens.
Wow. Now, is that Kingscott Lake? Is that the only place where these fish are found?
Yeah, I think there's one other lake in Halliburton that may have them, but yeah, it's the only lake, and it's just a specific breed of fish. And it's in the really cool history about them is that at one point in 1925, there was like maybe 10% of the lake was full of them, and the rest were just a regular lake trout. And then now there's like 90% of them are that species. Now, so the MNR throughout those years have tried to encourage that species by getting some and then putting them in and breeding them with regular lake trout, and then they've let them go and they didn't do well. So it's the natural strain, the genetic strain that's been on there for like hundreds of years, have adapted that lake. There are being able to live, and I think it's really cool. Do I want to catch one? I don't know why we're all like that.
Exactly. Why does anybody want to catch anything? Because you can, and that's just part of the deal. And especially when it's a rare fish like that, I agree with you for sure.
Yeah, you're allowed to catch them. You're allowed to eat them too. Like there's supposed to be a good plenty of fish there. So, have you ever caught an Aurora trout?
Yes, I have. Fantastic fish. Man. Fantastic fish.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That would be on my list. And I've caught blue walleye. I went down the Steel River just to do that. Uh-huh. I also caught rainbow trout in the Algoma area they have been self-sustaining there since the 50s. They were stocked there, and they actually self-sustained. So I went there and caught them. That was really cool. So
where was this?
That's Ranger Lake, near Ranger Lake. It's Kirkpatrick Lake, Blue Lake. Yeah, it's an old canoe route that I actually reopened years ago. And we flew in into Kirkpatrick Lake Lodge, and then we canoed up around a series of lakes up there. My God, the speckled trout fishing is amazing there. But the rainbow trout were put there way back, and then they self-sustained. So there's only like a few places in Canada that that's ever happened. So we went there, and we caught them on fly, so it was good.
Another place, if you ever are so inclined, is Merritt, B.C., there is a strain of rainbow trout called Girard. Not sure whether you're familiar.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of the same story. They're self-sustaining, and they're up in the mountains, and it's a rare breed of rainbow. But the thing about them is that their girth is always the same length as their length, the same number as their length.
Really?
They're round. They're a football.
That is the weirdest.
Yeah, the weirdest looking trout you've ever seen in your life, called Girard trout, and they're massive. The record is something like 52 pounds or 54 pounds, massive fish.
Wow,
yeah,
wow.
But pretty cool. That's another one. let's get back to Algonquin Park, because I think it's one of those places on Earth. There's maybe a handful of them that when you're there, whether it's the history or the geography, I'm not quite sure, or maybe a combination of both, but when you're in that park, there's something that happens, something that takes place within you. And everybody experiences something different when they go to the park. And it's hard to understand, you know, what it is. But you've written about it. You've written a book about the park. So I think you've got a better handle on it than most people. It's pretty special, isn't it?
It is, and to me, it's the familiar. I mean, I've been going to Algonquin since I was a little kid, and my dad and I went fishing there, and then I started canoe tripping there, and I know some hot spots for brookies and stuff like that, and it's my spring thing, it's my fall thing, it's my winter thing, and that's why I like it so much. But also, when I was in the park last week, I looked at the map once around the fire, and I said, good Lord, this is a big place. This is a big protected place, and the history of who's been there and also the future of the place. And also it's so close to my home, right? I mean, yeah, I've traveled a lot and gone to a whole bunch of different places, but I always go back to Algonquin.
Tell us about the book. It's called Once Around Algonquin.
Yeah, I wrote Once Around Algonquin last year. That was about that Meanest Link trip. I can't make that trip up. I'm telling you, it was 101 portages, 68 kilometers of portaging. And we did it when I turned 50, my buddy and I did it, and he's still talking to me now. But we did it in a slow way. We did it in 3 weeks. I think the record was beat just last week. I think they did it in 7 days.
Wow.
And but I'm thinking, why? Like, right? I mean, I was on the Crow River when I was on that trip, and I caught so many brook trout. And my buddy said, "Hey, we got to get going." I went, "No, I'm going to live here." Like,
wow.
So yeah, and I just put out the Paddler's Guide to Algonquin. It's on its fourth edition. And here's an interesting fact for you guys. When I put that book out first years and years ago, it was called Brook Trout and Black Flies, because to me that that characterized Algonquin. But a thing called Google came to be, the publisher said, okay, we got to change the title. It's got to be A Paddler's Guide to Algonquin, because nobody would search Brook Trout and Black Flies and find Algonquin.
Right.
And that was because Google, right? So they changed the name. And that, I think that was 1993, something like that. But, yeah, yeah. I put that out, and I put new routes up, routes about Obiango. Carl Wilson Lake is a great place. The Nipissing was one of my favorite places to fish for brook trout. Down by the Cauliflower Lake, down by the bottom end, and even Kingscott. A lot of people don't go to the south end of the park, the very south.
I was going to ask you about that. The route that I used to take all the time, we used to go into Dixon and Lavier lakes, and then the other one was into an obscure little lake called Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
That was a cool trip, and it would take us, I think it was 3 or 4 portages, just the right amount for a weekend. But man, were you ever in there deep? It was, it was just such a great feeling. Absolutely.
You know, Ryan hasn't changed a bit. That's a lot of portaging you did to get in that lake, but the trout are there.
Yeah.
I finally, that's what the thing was, mid-June, it was a heat wave. I didn't expect to catch any fish. In fact, there was two side lakes off Kingscott that I've caught brookies in, and I was going to go in one day, and I said, why? Like, I know I'm not going to catch anything. So, yeah, I mean, that's a terrible thing to say. But
I'll share a quick Algonquin story with you. So we had been going into Ryan for a number of years, the same group over and over again, and it became a challenge each year to try and download some of the equipment that we used to carry in. So we started going light, and then we went to ultra light, and then we went to uber light. And so the contest was to see who could, you know, be the lightest going in, the least amount of equipment. And so this one particular year, we had a new group of three new people that were joining us on this trip. And we wanted to impress the hell out of them. So we decided, well, the only way we can lighten the load any more than we already have is to eliminate all food. We will bring in no food.
No way.
I'm serious. This is an absolute true story. I can't make this up. So we said we are going in for 4 days with zero food. We will eat trout only for the entire trip because we know we'll catch, you know, as many as we want. So food will not be a problem. And so and you can imagine what the rest of the story is. We went in there and we did not see a fish for 4 days.
4 days?
4 days, buddy. You know what saved us? You know what saved us? A couple of the new guys had brought in what they thought was contraband. They brought in some of those snack bars, the granola bars. And we lived on granola bars the whole time. It was funny as hell. It was crazy.
Oh, man. You became a survivalist.
So I know a thing or two about not getting fish in Algonquin Park. It does happen very rarely, but it does happen. So,
That's crazy when you know a lake has fish and you bring someone in and they're just off, right?
Yeah.
And they're just looking at you. And how many times can you say, I swear to God?
Anyways, Kevin, always a pleasure talking to you, my friend. You can check him out. He's got Kevin. He's got online Whiskey Friends Chat, which you got to check out because it was fantastic. I watched that. Of course, you can check him out at kevincallen.com. And he's also a blogger on fishingcanada.com. He's got some great stories there, too. So check him out. Great guy. Kev, thanks. Nice having you back in the civilized world.
Yeah, you too, sir.
All right. The Happy Camper, expert wilderness canoeist and camper, Kevin Callen. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.